How old were you when you started to play?
7 years old. And when I was brought to the teacher by my father, he asked me, show me your hands. I said, no.
Yeah.
Turn over. He said, you have only small sausages, no fingers. You will never be a violinist. So I began to weep. And it was very effective because all the pupils who listened to this scenery, they asked him, let him try if he wants so much. And then finally, the teacher said, all right, you come to my class. That was a conservatory in Arad. It was in 1997. 98, yes. And then when I was at the end of the school year, you know, then I got two classes material, you know, played. So he was very content with me. And then it happened, you know, that my father died suddenly when I was 8 years old in 1900. So I was taken off the school, you know, because there was something with the other teacher. There was, I can't remember what it was, but Ungar, my teacher, came to my mother when she was alone and said, you must give me the boy to study with me, and I will study with him without any pay. You don't need to pay for me. And it was a very long talk between him and my mother, and finally my mother gave every way to his wish, and I went to him as his pupil. But my mother will pay at least has his fees, the half of his fees. Yeah. She wouldn't accept it totally. So I continued to play with him until I was 12 years old. You know, when I was 10 years, I came to the gymnasium, first class gymnasium, and there I played on a concert. I think it was Berlioz's violin concerto by the French composer Berlioz. And when I was 13 years old, then I played the Witches' Dances by Paganini with my small, short fingers. But you know, the harmonics requires a very exact play. So I got at a very young, 30 years, I must stretch my fingers so good, you know, that I could get the double harmonics on the violin. And he was very, very lucky about that and let me play for a charity concert, you know, as a one of the numbers there. I played the Hexen, the Witches' Dances by Paganini, and it made a great sensation. So that the papers were full of it. And then a friend of my mother's family, who was on the railway, you know,
in the office.
An officer. And he asked me, my mother, whether I would come with him to Budapest to who by what he will say about me. And he was in Budapest as a, from the railway, you know, he could ride, so travel every day if he wanted. So he was several times by Hubei, and Hubei said, what was his father's wish he should be? An engineer. Engineer? Yes, let him be engineer. There is so many, so much use for engineer here in Hungary. Hubei didn't want to hear at all. But then he showed the papers, and he said that he played, this young fellow has played the vicious dances by Paganini, and this is the critics. No. So Hubei said, well, all right, bring me the boy up to me. And then I came up with him. It was for me a very great sensation. For the first to come to Budapest and then to a little palais he had, a wonderful palais with every thing, you know, artistically. Or the trip on, you know, the balustrade, and everything was very finely made. And his in his room, reception room, there were many very wonderful paintings, yes. and you know, everything was so, I was quite, you know, I thought I came to the heaven and I shall meet good father, you mean, good himself. It was told so much of Hubei, about Hubei, that Hubei was for me a legendary person. And when we came up, you know, I had not very much time to look around the wonderful things, the tapestries and gobelins and so on. And then Hubei came in, tall, nice man with very quick steps and very agile, so, you know, with a little
goatee, beard.
And he said, no, will you play for me? And then he went with me into the salon where it was a piano, and he sat himself to the piano and accompanied me. He played excellently piano, just like we are violin. And I thought, of course, I was very much impressed by all that I saw. So I thought, you must take, you must play God, no. And you must play so well as you can. And then I played, and then we were ready. He asked me, quite. Peaceful and slowly. Is it right that you want to be my pupil? Yes. And I forgot at that time my old teacher, which I was very attached to. But you know, all that in my head has blinded me. And I said, yes, very much. Well, then you have to come to Budapest either alone or with your family, or you to stay here and follow my teaching. And of course we couldn't decide anything there. We must go home and talk to the parents. And they were very much against my grandfather and my mother was rather stirred about this. You know, we had a very close family circle. My mother had a sister, and we two, as my mother and sister, had a building which Moore's father has built for them. It was two side. In the middle was a port. And my grandfather and grandmother was in a very close little street, just 100 steps away. So it was very difficult to say now that we should leave this close family collective and go to Budapest. And everything was very expensive in Budapest. And my mother had only the pension for after my father, who died at 44 years old, as very early. And now, well, what can I tell you? Well, we came to Budapest and I came to Hubei, and in the second year there was a concurrence,
a competition
about a violin, which was built by a Hungarian violin bigger, Remény, in Budapest. It was closely to the new Academy of Music in Budapest. And it was so that I wanted to play the Paganini concerto in D major for this competition. And Hubei was at that time 3 weeks away from the concert tour, I don't know where. And there was a substitute during this time. And this substitute was so clever to give me way how I should learn things by heart, you see. And that was very not good for me. Hubei came day before I should make the competition, and he said, "You must play for me. Did you take the Paganini concerto? Where is the music?" And I gave him the piano score, piano part. And he says, "What? What is that for David?" Say, "You must play out my edition. You go down to the bibliothèque and get my copy, and you must play on this." And it was for me a great astonishment.
Confusion. Confusion.
Confusion, because his edition was in E flat major.
Oh my God!
And I had absolute,
pitch. Well,
absolute pitch. And when I stooped with the first finger, then I thought it was D. You know, it was E flat. Oh, how shall you do? Now he said, "If you cannot play in this pitch tomorrow, then you can give away. You get any prize." It was my most terrible situation for me, because I must avoid to hear what I am doing. Because when I played what I was accustomed, then it didn't sound right with the piano. Oh, it was, I had to, you know.
You tuned everything up to half a step.
Yes, the whole thing.
Yes.
Because that was used in Paganini's time, you know. He wanted the bright tone for the violin,
you see.
And he played also always
half a tone higher
to get it more brilliant.
So you kept the same fingerings?
Same fingerings, everything, but in other...
Terrible for the ear.
Terrible. But my luck was that I was I was the last on the list, you know. It was five over, you know. And until they had played, there went 2-3 hours, you know, and I worked all I could. But I finally got the prize, the violin.
Great.
You see. I wonder whether I have here my book. Yes. I have written my history, autobiography.
I must look into this in a minute or two. How was Hubei as a teacher? What did he work on?
The first 3 weeks, it was only Boeing. I couldn't with anything else. He wanted to have the ball straight, and that must be run, you know. He said, you have to. It was a very nice, very good school, really. And
for the left hand, the technique.
He had many. I had, of course, to learn all this Kreutzer, Rode, Fiorillo, and all this alarm. And he had also his own caprices, his own technical.
Were these pieces published?
Yes.
Yes.
Everything. And that was I was very very glad for his. You know, he had a certain kind of when he wanted to show how it should sound. Then he took his Amati, which was on the piano, and then he played it with a very, very slight vibrato, very slight. It was, he was also pupil of Joachim.
Yes.
And Joachim was against too much vibrato.
Did you ever hear Joachim play?
Yes.
You did?
Yes.
Oh.
Yeah, just the year before he died.
What did he play? Do you remember?
Yes, it was a quartet. With his quartet.
With his quartet.
With his quartet, you know. And he didn't play quite in tune, you know, in pitch. That was also, he was too old to that.
But
that was his seven, I think that was in
1907, yeah. But with the quartet, did he have interesting phrasing or the tempi?
Also, that guy, was, I can't remember. Can't remember.
But it was more of a part of history to see him.
Yes, really. And in a way, I was disappointed because I expected a perfect play. And you know, at that time, I was very keen about, you know, hearing. So I was very disappointed, really, about his playing. But you know, when Hubert played, it was very inspiring. It was just like Offenbarung, what do you call it? Offenbarung.
Offenbarung, I'll look it up.
You understand what I mean? It was, what do you say in English? It was a
revelation.
Revelation, yes. No, that was Hubei. But I played also Bach with Hubei. And Bach has interested me just like I was a small boy at 30, 40 years old. I liked to play the sonatas, solo sonatas.
The partitas.
So, partitas, yes. So, and I was also interested to play the violin and piano sonatas by Bach. There are six. And I got a pianist in 1915, a Hungarian pianist, and I played them in 1917 all the six solo sonatas and the six sonatas with piano with this in Budapest, in Vienna, in Berlin. But I played it always than Hubei has taught me. So I was, in a way, you know, I didn't. Didn't have a connection with Hubei anymore at that time because Hubei had a very unkind reception of Dohnányi. So there was a
animosity.
Yes, you know, that was in the time when the Bolshevik came to Hungary, exactly in the Bolshevik area in 1918, and then Hubei left the country, went to Switzerland. He resigned as a director because Dohnányi was elected by the revolutionary, also there was Porto, Kodály, they elected Dohnányi as their new director. That was a very bad story, you know. Well, I played the Bach in a different way as Hubei because I wanted to play as it is in the no music, you see, but that cannot be played with the
modern
ordinary
bow.
Modern bow.
Yeah.
Must be played with this bow.
Yes, the Baroque bow.
I did construct this bow, you know. I played them all these sonatas, the six sonatas for solo in Decca. But that is in 53, 54 it was. So that is now sold out. And my, you can here find a picture of Schweitzer.
Albert Schweitzer.
Albert Schweitzer. He was here in Copenhagen in 54. And I had the occasion to play for him the Chaconne. And he was very, very impressed. He told me, I traveled from this morning from Günzbach here to, and I came here at, is it here? Albert Schweitzer, yes.
Yeah.
And I am playing, you know, and he said, and now I am quite refreshed. Mm. You made me fresh again. And then he said to my wife, she was with me, pass very good upon him. He's a great artist. And now people say, well, you have been very nice to him because you are now 91 years old. So you passed him very well. I visited later on, as of the next year, we were namely with the whole family in on a tour to Spain, and on the way back, we stopped at a very beautiful Lothringen town, Kaisersberg, and when we came up to the landlady who lent us the rooms because the hotels were all fully occupied. So we had a private lodging. And when she saw that my one daughter came with a cello or my other daughter with a viola, or I am a violinist, she said, do you know Schweitzer? Yes, yeah, I know Schweitzer. I played with him last year, I played for him last year. So he is on the other side of the mountain. So next morning we packed together everything and went round to Gilsburg. And we came to Schweitzer's house. But his secretary, didn't know my name or didn't know where we were, said, no access here
unless you have an appointment.
Yes, no. Appointment. We can't have you. You must go back. The same moment came Schweitzer up from the cellar, and he saw me. Oh, tell Manny, come, you must eat with us. You know.
Yeah.
He was very kind. And then the lady said, I'm sorry, but we have not enough food
yeah.
till to five people. And I said, well, we don't need lunch. We have our lunch. So he said, Schweitzer said, go to the garden and I shall come in a minute later on down to you. And he sent them chambermaid with some fruits and a bottle of wine. You see, we should have the nice. And then we thought it will be wonderful if we make a serenade for him. And before, my wife plays the viola also, piano and viola. She was my pupil in violin playing. And my daughter, Ilona, played the second violin. My wife, the viola, and my other daughter, I have three daughters. The second one played the cello. So we played for him the Andante from the F minor string quartet by Carl Nielsen for him. He took the notes and began to play, and then we saw all the windows blew open, and his guests came and listened to our concert. Then he came down, and it was so beautiful that Schweitzer was very impressed by our playing. And the little one, my smallest daughter, she was only 11 years old. She played also, but not yet in the ensemble. And then Schweitzer took her, you know, Schweitzer was a very tall man, and she was a little one. And they took away, he should give her some prunes. That was a wonderful picture, but I'm sorry that we didn't photos them.
Did you ever meet Busoni?
Oh, if I met Busoni.
More than that.
Yeah, look here. Busoni was a friend of mine. Gisela Selbengoat. Do you know the name?
Yes, of course.
Yeah, Selbengoat was a friend of mine, and she introduced me. Was Busoni. In Busoni, I heard him conduct his own composition evening in Berlin, and I was so impressed by his music that I took at the same day to a music library and got his violin concert, and I studied it very keenly. So when I made my next orchestra concert in Blüthner Saal, I asked Busoni whether he would accompany my performance of his violin concert. He said, "No, why not the whole concert?" Oh, well, all right. But I was very modest. I only asked him to accompany me in his concert. But he accompanied me. I played the Mendelssohn, the Busoni, and the Brahms.
In one evening?
One evening.
My God.
Yes,
with Busoni conducting.
With Busoni conducting. You know, at that time, you know, we had these programs. In Vienna, when I played there, I played also the Nielsen, Carl Nielsen sonata, the Sibelius, the Sibelius concerto, yeah. And the third one, I don't know, perhaps it was the Dohnányi concert. You know, three concerts in the same evening. That was a great task, but I mean, we could do at that time.
Did you have enough rehearsals with him? You have many rehearsals?
No.
No rehearsals? It was spontaneous.
One rehearsal, you know, with the orchestra. No, it was perhaps two rehearsals, yes. I think so. And you know, it was also Mendelssohn or Busoni. And then Brahms, and he was a wonderful accompanist. Sheldon musician, and I am so lucky at his words. When he came to the artist room after Brahms, I heard him to say to himself, "In this way can only a great artist play." Brahms. Wasn't that a wonderful thing for me? I was 22 years old. Busoni left Berlin to America. Then, in the meantime, came the World War First, you know, first one, yes. And it was very happy that Busoni could return to Europe during the First War, and then he took place in Switzerland.
Yes, Zurich.
What? Zurich, yes.
Yeah.
Because, you know, his heart was divided, Italian and German. You see, he loved Germany, he loved Berlin. But, no, it was, so he was in Zurich. And after the First World War, in 1920, when Busoni was in Zurich, the Anbruch, it was a periodical, musical periodical in Vienna toilet. And they made three Busoni concert, memory concerts for him, himself conducting. And Mrs. Busoni wrote to me, Ferruccio will very much like you to play the violin concerto in this, you know. And Szigeti was very offended that it was not that Busoni asked. But it was Busoni's wish. It was a wonderful thing that he remembered my playing as something representative. That was with Busoni. And I didn't get any more in touch with him.
Did you play the concerto after that?
Oh, many times.
You played it many times.
Many times.
Was it ever recorded or for radio?
Look here. I am so angry with the Danish radio. The Italian conductor Lamberto Gardelli. Do you know the name?
No.
Gardelli. Well, he has conducted the Covent Garden. He conducted the Busoni concerto for in 1957, I think. And that was in the radio, and that was sent out in the air. But they didn't retain it. I mean, they should have put in the library.
Yes.
You see. So I have no recourse of this, which is very, very, very sorry about. I played a concerto with Nitisch in Berlin and in Leipzig. That was in 1918, during the First War. And it was, Nitisch was very angry that I wanted to play the Busoni. He liked Busoni very much as a pianist, but not as a composer. And he said, you should play the Bruch concerto. He said, when I play with you in Berlin, then I will have a more worthful, weighty concerto, not a Bruch concerto. That's every younger Scotch play that. But I mean, I want to play the Busoni. And because I am engaged to play this, I have to decide what I want to play. So he was very, very against that, you know, and he didn't accompany me well in Berlin. It was a little, you know.
Indifferent.
Quite indifferent. No. I was very sorry, of course, but what shall I do? I must go after my best impulse, what do you call it?
Best interest.
Most my
your instinct.
Instinct, yes. Then we should play together in Leipzig 3 weeks later. But it was war, you know, and I played in Posen, as a Posnian, in Posen with, I think it was an orchestra there, you know. And after the concert, I should have a sleeper to Berlin to reach the train in the morning at 9 o'clock to Leipzig to go to rehearsal with Nikisch. And then they bombed at this night the stretch to Berlin. So I came 4 hours too late for my train to Leipzig.
Yeah.
So I was quite unhappy. I phoned to Nikisch and I said, I'm sorry I couldn't come because the train was not, couldn't come to Berlin in the right time. That was a different tone in Horst Nikisch. Nikisch said to me, my lieber Freund, wir haben Busoni schon musiziert zusammen. Can you understand?
Yes.
Nur ruhig, seien Sie ruhig, wir werden es schon gut machen. Also, that was in the afternoon, you know, where I should have been there. I couldn't come. Next morning at 10:30 or 11 o'clock, it was the general rehearsal, and in the evening the concert, you know. So we played in the general rehearsal without rehearsal. Excellent. It was even so. That's my orchestra. But that I know what you will.
Yeah.
Oh, that was a great. It was a very great excitement. Experience. It was a good performance. Yes. I got wonderful results. So
reviews. Yeah.
You see, in that was with Busoni.
And you heard him play piano often.
Yes, I heard him play.
What an experience!
You know, also, he played also a fuga by Bach, you know, and you could hear every time the theme.
The entrance.
Exactly.
Yes.
Exactly. It was, you know, his fingering was perfect, also in contact with the music which he was playing. So I was a very great admirer of Busoni, and that I both was pianist, composer, and conductor.
Did you ever hear his piano concerto?
With Egon Petri, yes, I heard it, but you know, it. I can't
Didn't
remember.
Stay, yeah.
I can't remember the anything of it, you know. I had so many musical experiences.
Oh,
you
yes.
know. It's only certain things
yes.
remains in the memory.
Of the pianists you heard, which made the strongest impression?
Of what?
Of the pianists.
Pianists?
Who made the strongest impression on you?
Yeah, well, one of the strongest impression I got from Busoni.
And others? Did D'Albert or?
No.
Rosenthal?
No. But I had a very great impression by Dohnányi. I played also very much with him. Many sonatas, you know. In 1919, we had four sonata evenings, everything sold out in advance. And the next year was also on the same way, you know. And, other pianists.
Emil Zauer?
I think I can remember that D'Albert has also brought a great impression on me. D'Albert, yes.
Sauer?
And then Friedman was also a pianist, he was a perfect technician
yeah.
and excellent musician. I played the Beethoven sonata with him as a concert sonata. We had different. What do we call
Tempi? It? Opinions.
Opinions. But we.
But it worked.
But it worked together. Yes.
Yeah.
And.
When you played with him, did you have much rehearsal?
No, not very much. Yeah. Only
one rehearsal.
Only one rehearsal. And, you know, it was so that I played in Berlin, and he liked very much my playing. And he came up to me and said, can you. Come visit me. I think I came and visited him, and then he said, I have a concert series in Scandinavia next year in September, October, I think, or October. And if you like to do, you can play with me the Kreutzer Sonata in one of my concerts, and then you have a good chance for your own recital afterwards. Then we did it. And that was a great experience for me, of course, to play with Friedman, because he was a fantastic pianist. He was really, but that was a different kind of Busoni, quite different from Busoni. Even I heard Busoni play in a record. Chopin, that was very interesting to hear that. But Friedman was a specialist on Chopin. I can't remember, you know, I see from me, you know, he had a certain blinky eye, you know.
Yeah.
He was a very joking.
Yes, all the time.
All the time, you know. And he would say, no, no, you shall hear the minute ones.
Yeah.
And he's played, you see, 1 minute. Just on 1 minute. I mean, yes, he was very, very funny. But I have no letters from him because, you know, all conversation per telephone at that time, you know, and...
You heard him when he was very young. Did his playing change over the years?
I think it was the same.
It was the same?
Nearly, yes. He was, you know, when I heard him first, that was in 1912. Was it in 12? Yes.
Yeah.
12. I had my debut in Berlin 1911. I played the Elgar Concerto. That was the first performance in the continent.
Did you ever meet Elgar?
No, never meet Elgar. Because I came to London first in 23. You know, there was a war in Melle between. And that was very expensive to make a concert in London, you see. I was not very very rich at that time. No, I am not very rich either, no. But, about Friedman, yes. Friedman said to me after the concert, well, I have two concerts now, and then I shall do Denmark. And I said, I have also a recital here in Stockholm now. I had two recitals after this appearance. And then we went together to Copenhagen.
Was it a good trip? Was he must have been making jokes all
yes,
the way.
Yes, all the time, you see.
Yeah.
It was a very what do you call it?
In Deutsch,
was it?
Was ist in Deutsch?
Sehr unterhalten. That means he was very entertaining all the time, you know. And when we came to Copenhagen, he had a concert in Paris. And after the concert, we were invited by the piano factory, Herman and Petersen. He played namely the pianos by Herman and Petersen and got money for them, you see. Do you know Herman and Petersen?
No.